Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And we happen to have one live in the studio. Mr. Dennis Prout is in from Prout Financial Design in Traverse City for another episode of New Retirement Radio. Welcome back, sir. There we go.
It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Ron Jolly. On Thursday, March 28, 2019, thank you for being here with us. We have a lot to discuss today, in specific, the subject of a recession. A recession. My gosh, the economy is rocketing, rolling. Why would we discuss a recession? Well, because we're about four
Rumors.
Months away from the longest expansion we've ever seen. So we should discuss it. And we have here with us in the studio Heidi Thompson. Heidi Thompson, yeah.
Thank you.
Our managing executive and also representative with absolutely tons of financial experience, formerly with a well-known accounting firm called Deloitte Touche from way, way back.
Mm. Yes.
She is obviously very bright with the numbers, and we are happy to have her with us today, where she's going to be discussing travel insurance for retirees. Mm. My gosh, why would that be important? Well, we will find out a bit later. And joining us as well is Shea Pataja.
Hello.
Our CXO, Chief Experience Officer. Happy to have her with us, too. Yes, and the crowd is especially friendly today.
So friendly. I appreciate it.
You know, I really appreciate it, given that there's no one else in the community except for those in the crowd.
Yes.
The roads are bereft of people.
Bereft.
You can park on Front Street, get into restaurants.
There's a parking space in the deck this morning.
Well, you'd almost rather be here than out somewhere on spring break.
Yes.
Yes.
I did speak to someone else within the radio station, of whom shall remain anonymous, but he said, yeah, it's kind of good to be here when, you know, get some work done. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's fantastic. So we have a lot to talk about.
Well, that eliminates a lot of people there.
Given the marginalized workers of the day. Yes, man, how exciting. And thus begins the talk of recession. Now, recession, we are statistically getting near the longest period of increasing economic activity that we've ever seen. We are currently in month number 116 in the current economic expansion, 4 months for becoming the longest ever. So that significant number is the way that we begin the show. And if we were in a typical recession, which I'll state some of the stats related to it here briefly, a typical decline in the stock market, and this will perhaps help why it's important to know, is 35%. 35% decline in stock would be the typical recessionary stock market reaction. Wow. So 35%, putting in Dow terms, is around 8,000 points in today's market.
Yikes.
Yeah. So it's around, 25.5 or whatever it is today. And, about 8,000 points. That would tend to get people's attention.
And that would be over a certain, over any amount of time.
And that's a great point, too, Ron. Now, you had said last week that an economic recession was defined as three quarters, and I inaccurately, and I just kind of in passing, and my apologies, it's actually two quarters of declining GDP. It's not one, as I stated. So it is two quarters. Can last up to about 18 months. Now, a depression in relation to that is generally considered 2 years or more of declining gross domestic product. Serious stuff. And obviously we haven't seen a depression in eons, but that will get everyone's attention.
But because
of the significant economic expansion, some of those who prognosticate about the future are wondering if we may be in such a situation again.
You referenced Christmas Eve a lot, where if you look at the graph, there's the huge drop in the Dow, I think, in the S&P, too. But it went from November 30th, it was at 25.5, and by Christmas Eve, it dropped down to 21.7.
Yeah.
So that was big almost. Drop, but nothing like what you're saying, a 35% drop.
Yeah, it would be about double that drop.
Double that.
That got people's attention. I mean, obviously, it was serious. A lot of wonderment about whether this thing was, tipsy, seeing its end, as it were. Okay? So some of the stats that have these people concerned, these economists, if you will, the yield curve is inverted in the short end. It's higher than some intermediate and longer-term rates, which can be worrisome for an economy. Can also be a precursor to a business cycle decline. Stocks appear to have peaked about 25.5 again on the Dow, almost to 27. Given that peak and that we've not overcome that, in the current environment, that is worrisome to some.
Huh.
Fed policy changes, this person is saying, are coming too late. They already have over-tightened. They have so often done in the past. So interest rates rising can be very... That is a real cost in the economy. So a lot of this noise you hear about other stats and that sort of thing, a lot of the economy relates to interest rates. It's the cost of doing business. And because of that cost increasing, accountants such as Heidi become increasingly concerned.
Just waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Yes,
you know?
See, there you have it. She's, there you are.
Now you see why we have to eat so much sugar. Keeps us positive, happy, uplifted. It's going to be fine.
Well, sugar mixed with chocolate, hopefully.
And chocolate,
I mean, after
a little
all.
Caffeine.
You know, yesterday... So you started this rabbit trail. I have to continue it. So, Kilwins, I'm stuttering, and I apologize.
A literal
this
rabbit.
Great dark chocolate rabbit that I summarily broke into smaller pieces, and you just can't believe the feeding frenzy at the office.
But it's like a foot. Yeah. It's over a foot, right?
Yeah.
It was massive.
It was massive, but because it was partially hollow, it wasn't that expensive. So I could still justify the cost.
Since we started the rabbit hole, do you want to, we're looking at, these are all signs you're reading, signs of a possible impending recession.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
before indeed. We go back, do you want to do a quick call?
Yes.
We have Craig is on the line for Dennis Prout from Prout Financial Design. Craig in Traverse City. Hello.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
In a recession, what happens to bonds and bond mutual funds?
Great question. It depends on what happens with interest rates. They are driven by interest rates, but generally what happens is after the recession is completed, interest rates tend to decline or at some point during that time, so bonds can be a great investment. However, given how low interest rates are compared to history, you may want to keep that shorter term in terms of you're holding shorter term within those bond funds to help protect your principal.
Right.
Given the reality of a decline in the stock market. Okay?
Okay.
Makes sense?
Yes, so
all right.
Far.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Dennis.
You're welcome.
All right.
So recessions historically begin when the unemployment rate climbs 0.4 percentage points above its cycle low. They haven't currently done this, but that would be one indicator of a problem, in essence a 4.1% unemployment rate.
When unemployment rate climbs 0.4 points above...
0.4% above the cycle low.
Okay.
It should ring an alarm bell for some, because that's typically a time.
Hmm.
See? See, the need for sugar is happening right now, I can tell.
0.4 points.
Boy. The recession will probably be mild, but unfortunately there is no correlation between a recession severity and how far equity markets decline, or the stock market. Why are we so attuned to this again? Because this could, because this one has gone on for so long. At the same time you're looking to play offense, playing defense is always a good thing. And as I showed Shay this morning, in regards to one of the particular mutual funds we have within our 401k that tends to do well in these type of recessionary economies, having some money and an asset that does better there, and or thinking about how you might personally handle this, which we'll discuss in the third part of the show here, how do I deal with this, given the reality, is increasing. Although many would say, and I would tend to agree, it's simply a storm it's out on the horizon. It's not an immediate concern. However, always beware, okay? Recessionary will probably be mild, but unfortunately there's no correlation, as we discussed. This time the bubble on corporate balance sheets borrowed money at historically low rates, but they put most of the money, or allocated much of the money, to share buyback plans, where they were buying shares back instead of employing it into money-producing activities. Not necessarily as efficient as they might have been otherwise. High-yield bonds. A key risk for this year is a debt refinancing tsunami, as trillions in debt have to be rolled over at higher rates. So because they've financed or refinanced so much of their debt, if rates continue to rise, albeit slowly, the cost for their own debt or their own business may increase. And we're seeing that on the government debt side. Their cost for government debt is only going to increase. Obviously, given that we just went over $22 trillion, Ron, you need to do something about this, okay? Really? I mean, come on.
He's trying. I'm just trying. With this radio show. That's why he's got the Ron Jolly show.
Yeah, trying to motivate those in Washington, D.C. to somehow curtail their spending. Why would that be a problem? Everyone talks about the debt in a nebulous kind of term. What is the problem with the government debt? Well, it's based on trust. Trust. Others, institutions being willing to buy that debt, given that they're relatively certain they'll get their money back with a competitive interest rate. Well, if we ran the debt to such a level that it wouldn't be repaid, what happens to that trust? Obviously, down the tubes, right? Given that it goes down the tubes and that trust dissipates because we have said, well, we need to extend that debt out, or whatever kind of debt deployment or redeployment plan we might take advantage of, trust declines, interest rates have to go up and or possibly significantly, and we're not able to borrow nearly as much. Good luck with that, right? Our government would be in rough shape if that were to happen. The debt is not something that will never have to be repaid. Well, unless they could always say, we're not going to repay it. Well, what happens if that were to occur? What are they going to finance their activities with? Crickets.
Nobody's going to lend them money.
Right. No one's going to lend them money. Well, the U.S. government, surely someone would lend them money. Well, not if they don't believe they're going to get their money back.
Yeah.
As in happened, well, this goes way back to Weimar Germany. Certain countries have not repaid more recently, Iceland. They didn't repay their debt, and that was quite a row that they had over there about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that this could happen, but if it did, because of our increasing debt, that is a storm on the horizon, which we all should be concerned about at some point, because it is real money. The government is financing their debt or their ongoing activities with. So at some point, if confidence starts to decline in the government's ability to repay that, look out. As confidence declines, so does our dollar, so does others' willingness to finance that debt, and all of a sudden, we lose significant power and control in the world economy. So that debt has to be kept within a marginal enough thought process to where at some point we could pay it back. And we're already, that That I wouldn't call it a house of cards. That's probably a little bit too dramatic, but it's getting ridiculous at this point. 10 years ago, many economists were warning about our debt being at 10 to 12 trillion. Well, we're almost double that right now. Well, we are double it at 10. So
the solutions cut spending, which doesn't happen. There aren't many federal programs that ever get cut, let alone eliminated, despite their uselessness.
Yes.
So the other part of that is raise revenue. So as you say, if that scenario plays out, the pressure to raise taxes goes up.
And the tax raise, which most likely would be a part of it, will necessarily then damp down the economy because interest rates have to go up because they're trying to finance. Well, given tax rates go up, incomes for individuals go down and they're able to spend not as much. So that's... There's always a push and pull in regards to that. Not so much fun. So those are some of the issues that are related or can occur around a recession. And while it's certainly not a concern right now, looking out into the future, always be aware of the danger. So next is Heidi up. What is this about?
Well, Dennis and I read a periodical called The Investment News, and we use that to keep us up to date on all the newest things in the world of finance. But I was flipping through, and I saw this article by Mary Beth Franklin, and she's their Social Security guru, and the title was Seniors Need Travel Insurance, and I was like, intrigued, because I'm like, well, we usually don't get involved in travel insurance in the advising world. So I read the article, and it had some interesting information that I thought it might be helpful for people to know. When Dennis and I talk to clients in meetings, a lot of times when people are getting ready to retire, one of the top things people want to do is travel. Maybe go overseas, you know, see places they've never been to before. So that's one reason why this topic can be quite interesting for people who are about to retire or are already retired. And it talks about travel insurance. And travel insurance is something you can get that can help you cover healthcare costs when you're out of the country. So an interesting point that Mary Beth said was that Medicare stops at the border. So you might want to think about that.
Now, given that most of the populace over age 65 is covered by Medicare,
correct.
A huge percentage, it stops at the border.
Right. And now some of the supplemental policies that you can get to add on to your Medicare, it might have coverage, but not always. So you really need to check it out. They use a story of a gentleman who had a health issue and ended up staying 3 to 4 weeks in the hospital overseas. And he had to pay on his credit card. And it was over $100,000. So, you know... It may add a couple hundred dollars onto your trip. If you budget for that, at least you could avoid those kind of circumstances. So it was something that I had never really looked at and thought about. But I was like, wow, this is one of those things that you don't know, but you should know. And it can really help you avoid a big problem in the future. Another item that you might want to know is that Medicare D that covers prescriptions, they don't cover prescriptions bought outside of the U.S. So I had a friend who fell, broke her arm when she was in Paris. All those pain medications, all that stuff, not covered. So it could end up helping save you. But I do have some good news for travelers. If you just happen to be traveling to places outside of the U.S. that are U.S. territories, those would be covered. So if you guys are going to go to, say, America Samoa or to the North Mariana Islands or the U.S. Virgin Islands or Puerto Rico, good news is Medicare follows you there.
Okay.
But anywhere else. You might want to take a second look at your coverage, and if you have health care through your employer's pension plan or defined benefit plan or something like that, take a look at that coverage. Take or give them a call just to find out. And then you could get that extra coverage. You can ask your travel agent. They should be able to give you some ideas of what you can get out there. But I just thought, hey, I didn't know about that.
No, I didn't either. Good information.
That's a great point. And so who do you call when you're going to travel overseas? Call your health insurance agent and ask her or him, am I covered when I travel overseas? Is Medicare going to cover it? And or is my Med Sup policy going to cover that travel when we go overseas? Now, overseas, does that include of the borders? And would that include travel into Canada?
Yep.
Wow. So
yeah. There are some exceptions where Medicare will cover you. One of the most interesting ones is if you're on a cruise ship and you're within 6 hours of a U.S. port, it will cover you.
Okay.
However, I don't know what happens if you're 7 hours from a U.S. port. So,
right. So they have to calculate how fast the ship's going and where
say.
It was and yeah, what the weather, what direction the wind's blowing. And
yeah.
I don't know how
there's
they
a lot of factors
that.
There. Right. I don't know.
What was the story in that one in Norway that got caught in the sea and all these people had to be evacuated from it?
Last week.
Comes to mind, yes.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's a good reminder. Also, medevac, like say you wanted to be brought back to the U.S. if you're sick enough and you wanted to come back and use your own doctors and be at home or be near your home, not a lot of policies cover medevac. So that's something else that you could add on as an additional rider onto that. You never
Great
know.
Idea. You bet. Thanks, Heidi. Well, you never know, huh?
You never know.
Travel across the sea.
But know before you go.
Yes. So, 9 steps. To prepare yourself in the event of a recession, what should I do?
These are good practical steps.
This is if a recession occurs or maybe when it looks like it's imminent. At what point would you take these actions?
Some of these you're going to need months, perhaps years to prepare.
Okay.
So maybe now.
Mm-hmm.
Begin.
Mm-hmm.
I like that list because you could – everyone should be kind of doing these things regularly.
Yes.
Right?
It's playing offense and defense. Again, why? Because we don't know. Beef up your bank account, number one. More cash. Savings.
Emergency fund.
Emergency fund. Mm. Voila. In case things turn awry. Lower your dependency rate. This is an interesting note. Gentleman, a financial advisor out of Carmel, who shall remain unnamed, says that if you spend 95% of your income on a regular basis, your dependency rate is then 95%.
Mm.
That means 95 cents of every dollar coming into your house is vitally important to your solvency. It's required. Lower your dependency rate by lowering the amounts that you have to spend on a monthly basis.
I'm glad it means that because I thought it meant like get rid of kids. Like, you're 18, out.
Right, yeah.
You're 16, you got a chance, get out of here.
Cleaning up.
Yeah.
Tell me, son, what have you noticed any apartments for rent here recently? I can see the ways that you might get around saying that directly. You know, maybe just hinting at the subject.
My uncle, I thought this was interesting. He told his kids, you don't have to go to college, but if you stay here, you're paying the going rate for rent in this town. And they were like, oh, but if I go to school, I don't have to pay rent? Correct. I'll go to school.
It reminds me of what my father said when I wanted to take a job other than on the farm where we lived. Well, he said your rent cost is going to increase dramatically if you decide to do that. Really? Yes, it is. So that was the end of that conversation. Well,
that was a pretty
okay.
short combo.
There we have it. Yes. Update your resume, possibly. Number three, updating your resume. What are the other options? Always looking at your options, given where you're employed. If it's recession dependent, if you will. Number four, network.
Network.
Network. In essence, building not just your resume, but your connections. In case something does happen. Always, again, playing offense and defense. Five, get a side job, perhaps extra income. Now, this can work for retirees as well. Well, I'm becoming more specialized. Apparently, my employer thinks a lot of my experience. He or she is willing for me to say, you know, I only want to work part-time, and I want to get out of here for 3 weeks in the winter. And they might say to you, okay, tell me what that looks like. What I'm saying is your experience may be more valuable than you think. Really? How many of us, if I may preach a little here.
Preach it.
How many of us discount our experience? You might be surprised. I know someone's going to call on. Yeah, you fired me on the spot when I said that. Okay, well, let's just stop with that, all right? Many times, individuals discount their experience and their value for their employer. Given the 15, 20 years that you've spent, why do I say this with such enthusiasm? Because I just had a conversation not a half an hour with a gentleman who's doing just this. All right?
So take your experience, and instead of the traditional contract or deal you have with your employer, if you want something that better suits you, make a proposal.
Yes.
I will cut my hours, you can cut my pay, and I'll still be here.
Yes, and I'll still be here, and your employer may say thank you.
Yeah.
They may appreciate you more than you realize. Well, you never said anything before. Well, I didn't need to. You were here every morning. I didn't say.
You become part of the 76%, the solo entrepreneur then, right?
You may well, depending on how it is you decide to structure it with your employer, obviously. But again, that experience is, as I was talking to a brand new client yesterday, and Heidi was in on that meeting, and I said to him, given his craft, that 25 to 35 years that he has learned his particular, I'll just call it a craft, is extremely valuable and much more difficult to replace him or her in many cases, given today's market environment for employees.
Doesn't Malcolm Gladwell write, if you spent 10,000 hours, you are then considered an expert? So I wonder what that, I can't do the math in my head. We all know this. But
it's
what
five.
Would be if you're doing 15 years of
it's
work?
It's 5
and
years
one...
of full-time at 2,000 hours. 2,000 hours is a typical full-time job.
So there
right?
you go.
Yeah.
I think people know more than what they think they know. If you were forced to sit down and write whatever you were asked, you probably could come up with a lot.
Yes.
So if you have been on the job at least 5 years, you can go into your superior's office and say, I am an expert. And I would like to work 4 days a week from now on.
What
or maybe
you
might
want
to, maybe not want to put it like that.
Correct. maybe soften that a bit, but have a plan.
Jeez, Ron, you're like a hammer.
You would
I'm
want
an expert.
To achieve it. He's a tough guy here on the radio. Number
six,
pay down debt. Pay down debt is a part of that. What is the debt that you would pay off right now if you most could? Well, start working on it. It's probably the credit card debt. For many, 15, 16, 18%, continue paying that down. Number seven, track your spending so you know where it's going. Can you tell your spouse, loved one, cousins, relatives, what do you spend each month? I know you're not going to tell them, but do you know about how much you need on a monthly basis to live on?
All right, sorry to cut everybody off. Where's that article from?
This article.
Because then they can find it.
From 9 Steps to Prepare Yourself Now for the Next Recession, moneytalknews.com.
Yep, look that one up. Securities. This is for Heidi. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, CAS, a registered investment advisor.
All right.
So on number 9, check your portfolio. Is it able to handle a recession? Do you have those investments that do well in a recessionary economy? And lastly, don't wait to plan.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.